And Father, I just truly do thank you this morning for all those that came out to sit at your table, to hear your fresh word, your new word to them, Father God, and to eat the fresh manna from heaven. And Father, right now I thank you that your Holy Spirit is so evident in this sanctuary. I thank you, Father God, that he's already begun the perfect work, and he will complete it. And we thank you for ears, that we have ears to hear what thus saith the Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It really is getting harder and harder to come in and preach the word. Because I know that God wants to start the miraculous, but he's still trying to get his people to that place where he can use them to work through. And if you're reading, you know, like I said earlier, if you're reading anything, everybody's saying the same thing now, that God is calling us to total intimacy with him, and we need to love our brothers and sisters as he loves us. Now, God gave me a prophetic word for y'all, but I want to give you some background before we hear the word that he gave, okay? Now, you are a child of God. How many of you really understand that? You know, you really know that you're a child of God. I don't care how much you messed up, you're still a child of God. All right? You are the offspring of God. Acts 17:29 tells us that. Now, he is the father of your spirit. He wants to have a relationship with you. As a child of God, your potential is infinite. God wants to have a personal relationship with everybody in this room and everybody in the sound of my voice. He doesn't want you to have a relationship that I have, or, you know, or somebody, some other relationship that you heard of. He wants you to have your own personal relationship with him. And like I was doing something in the bathroom, scrubbing the floor, and God said, you're going to a new level. Now we're going to have a different relationship. So now I'm waiting to see what that is. But see, this is the way God wants to do, is from glory to glory to glory. And he'll bring you to one level, and then whenever you're all comfortable with that, and he's accomplished everything in you he wants to accomplish, then he takes you to another level. Serving God is just not a one-level serve. You have to keep growing, going higher and higher and higher with him. Now, while you're trying to grow, the devil's trying to tear you down. And you know, I was reading a lot of scriptures this weekend, and I thought, you know, God, it tells us more about how we're going to suffer than it does anything else. And, you know, you don't hear that preached that you're going to suffer. You know, they just keep telling you everything's all rosy and everything's going to be just grand. But that's not true. Now, God knows you personally. I hope you all know that before you came here, you were in heavenly places. You were up in heaven. God and you sat down and had a conversation. I've taught about this, give you scriptures on this. And you said, sure, I'll go down there and I'll do this. And then so God placed you in, just like he did Jesus. He placed Jesus in Mary's womb, right? God placed you in a woman's womb. And then you were birthed forth. And at that point, then he was starting to grow you up, so you could do the thing that you promised him you would do before you were placed in your mother's womb. Now, a lot of you say, well, how come that's my mother? That's the womb God wanted to put you in. So why are you questioning God? He knew what kind of a childhood you were going to have when he placed you in that womb. He knew what you was going to have to go through. But yet we fuss and fuss and fuss and fuss. And God said, be content in the state that you're in. At least you're out of that womb. You know, I look around, we're all grown up and we're away from that womb. So, you know, quit your fussing and let's just understand that God knows you personally, very personally. He knows everything about you. All right, Jesus taught that God the Father watches over all of his creations. A sparrow can't fall to the ground without the Father knowing it. And you find that in Matthew 10:29. It says, as for you, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Matthew 10:30-31. Every one of your hair in your head is numbered. God knows everything about you. He knows your little quirks. He knows what's going to disappoint you. He knows what's going to excite you. And he knows how you're going to try to jump the reins every now and then. You don't surprise him with anything that you do. I don't know about you mothers, but me growing up with my grandsons, they surprise me every day. Because they do things I'm not expecting them to do. But you don't surprise God at all because he knows you. He wonderfully made you. All right? Always remember that, because if you don't remember that, the enemy's going to take you out. All right, 1 John 4:16-19 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is what? Love. Why do you think there's so much hate in the world? Because the enemy is trying to destroy love. Because God is love and the devil is hate. God's love for his children is a central theme in the Bible. Here are some scriptures that illustrate the depth of God's love. You know, sometimes you just need to start, lay everything aside and just sit down and start reading your word. And just see really what's in the word. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I want to read that one again. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves you. He will take great delight in you, and in his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with what? Singing. 1 John 3:1 in the Message Bible says, behold, ye of what sort of love the Father hath bestowed upon you or given to us, that we should be named children of God, and we are, and because of this, the world does not know, begin to understand us, because it did not know or begin to understand him. The world doesn't understand you guys. So why are you upset because the world won't accept you? You're not of this world. You're of the heavenly kingdom, and those who are of the devil are not going to accept you. Now, if you're with brothers and sisters who are really with Christ, they're going to accept you. All right? You know, what we need to do is, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so when God tells you to love the unlovable, they're still sinners, and your flesh is supposed to die, and you're supposed to love them anyway. Because that's what God did for us, right? All right, John is saying that we do not expect to be the sons of God. We are the sons of God. A better translation includes the words, and we are. The child of God can say emphatically, I am a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I don't even say through faith. I said, I am a child of God, period. I just know that I know. I know that's faith. But I just know that I know that I know that I'm God's daughter. And see, unless you get that down in your spirit, the enemy's always going to torment you. He's always going to tell you that you don't amount to a hill of beans. And I don't care what kind of a church background that you come from, the enemy is going to chide you continually, telling you you're not a child of God. So you messed up. They say, uh-huh, see, if you're a child of God, you wouldn't have done that. No, shut up. I am a child of God just because you said that to me, trying to get me discouraged. See how he works? All right, we don't hope to be or expect to be, but the thrilling fact is that every believer can exalt, rejoice, and constantly thank him that he is God's child. We are boasters not in ourselves, but we are boasting of the wonderful shepherd that we have. And, you know, these are just things that just came to me, you know, just to encourage us in the Lord, encourage you in the Lord, because you're going to be discouraged more than you are going to be encouraged, because the enemy is going to work overtime on you, and he's doing that right now every single solitary day. He's working overtime on you because he knows if he doesn't get you now, he's never going to have you. Because once God does his mighty move, the enemy knows he's lost you totally and completely. And that's why you are being bombarded right now, because he wants to take you out right now. And I walk through this stuff. I know this stuff is real. So I'm not up here telling you something that I have not already walked through. And this is why you have to rejoice in the trials and tribulations. Because if you don't rejoice in the trials and tribulations, how are you going to be an overcomer? Then how are you going to convince somebody else that they can be an overcomer also? We all fuss. Come on. We all have our moments of wailing and carrying on like a fool, but we don't give in to that. That's just nature. Just you have to shoot your mouth off at something, right? So, you know, you don't give in to that. You just get over it and tell God you're sorry and that you had to give that little ounce of flesh, you know, and walk on. And if you don't make it at that, you know, all right, so if you miss the mark at one point, don't give up because you missed that one mark. Keep on going. Keep on trying for the higher mark, the higher goal. All right, the kind of love that John is talking about is a strange kind of love, an unusual kind of love, a kind of love to which we are not accustomed. I was just telling somebody this morning on the way here, I said, the reason why that person's acting like that is they feel so bad about the bad things they did to people, and they feel like they don't deserve love. And that's why they're always pushing love away, because they just fear, I have been so bad, there's no way that I deserve anybody's love. And the more you show them love, the harder they push you away. And until they understand that God has forgiven them and that God is love and they are loved, they're going to keep doing these terrible things to push all love away. There's some of you sitting in here this morning, you've gone down that road and you just feel like you've gone too far and there's no way God can forgive you. That's not true. God's just waiting for you to say, God, I'm so sorry. And then there's your forgiveness. You need to understand that God loves us individually. What manner of love the Father has for us, the love of God, his love for us is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is why God is, Jesus, when he went away, he said, I'm going to leave you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And this is why we need to walk in the whole, you know, be spirit-filled, because the Spirit of God will nudge you and let you know, hey, you are loved. You're going down the wrong road here saying you're not loved. And he'll pull you gently back. And then you have to say, God, I'm sorry that I allowed the enemy to do this to me. And then you keep on walking in love. That is really easy. It's that simple. There's nothing complicated about this. If you read the word, you find out the word's not even complicated. John will go on to show that God has demonstrated his love by giving his son to die for us. How many of us have someone who would die for us? How many folks would you be willing to die for? You're saying kill them. And God's wanting you to say, God, I'll take their place. Amen. God loves you. I want you to get that down in your spirit. God loves you. He has proven his love. He gave his son to die for you. God is our loving Father in heaven and loves all his children perfectly. He has no favorites. He loves his children perfectly, including you. Whoever you are that thinks God doesn't love you, he loves you. He loved us before we ever loved him, and evidence of his love for you is everywhere. We have to start looking at the little things God does for us. We're always looking at this big mountain thing he does. He wants us to look at the little things that we overlook, that he's proven over and over again how much he loves us. God wants to help his children be happy. He has blessed us with so much. He loves you, watches out for you, and wants you to communicate with him through prayer. In other words, just sit down and talk to your father. That's the reason why marriages don't work. They don't know how to talk things out. They don't know how to talk together. And so they just turn their back and run away. And this is what you do to God, too. You have to sit down and talk to him. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. He's always listening. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm working, whatever I'm doing, I'm constantly talking to God because I'm constantly thinking about things. And I need answers, don't you? We need answers. So just talk to God. He's the only one that really has the answers. It's like, say, he talks to me at the weirdest times, you know, because I've got all this stuff going on in my head that I've been asking him. And all of a sudden he just starts talking. And I'm so happy to hear him that I just stop what I'm doing and I listen. And, you know, you laugh, you cry, don't you? Because you think, God, you're so, you know, I just get so overwhelmed with his love that I just sit and cry. I said, Father, you just love me so much. I know that God gives us earthly people to love, and that is a good thing. But, you know, I don't know what I'd do if my father ever turned his back on me, you know, in heaven. I don't know what I'd do. That would totally devastate me. All right, Jesus has promised in Matthew 7:11, your Father, which is in heaven, will give good things to them that ask him. You have to ask him for things. You can't just sit and meditate or just don't say nothing. Say, God knows what I have need of, but he wants you to ask. He wants you to talk. And God said you find favor in his eyes when you sit and converse with him. All right. If you really want a closer walk with God, just start talking to him. You know, with Tian up here dancing, she's getting so, you know, she's so annoyed at this dancing. She's talking to God through all that. You know, I was watching this morning. I thought, God, you must really have her wrapped around your finger some way. You really do love her, you know. If you ever watch the lady's flag, you can tell when the anointing is really super strong. Those flags just seem to, you know, they just do their own thing. And you watch the people that's flagging, they have their eyes shut. You can tell they're caught up in the spirit. So we do the same thing. We might not have a flag and we might not be able to dance like that, but we still are us and we still have something, a gift that we can give to God. That might be just your ears. Listen a little bit, you know. Quit tuning him out. The greatest The greatest motivating force in the world is God's love. Love is the greatest drive in the human family. A man falls in love with a woman, a woman falls in love with a man, and some make tremendous sacrifices for each other. You hear that? We make sacrifices for each other because we say we love them. And I watched some married people and I thought, well, I don't know where this love is at, but it's not what you think is love, but it really isn't love. Or you'd be doing a little bit of sacrificing. Oh, she's cranky today. We'll sacrifice and make her happy. Instead of fussing about she's cranky. Well, he didn't pick his shoes and socks up. I'll pick them up for him. You know, this is sacrificing. Well, he's as able as I am to reach down and pick them shoes and socks up. Well, just pick them up and shut up. See, I say that because I have a little 16-year-old now, he's going in 17, and he takes his socks off and he throws them. He didn't care where they land. So I was picking him up out of the office last night, and I was going to tell him to do it. And God says, why can't you just pick them up? You're right here where they're at. Well, he's younger than I am. That was my reply. He's younger than I am. God said, pick him up. Are you hearing what God is saying? If you really love somebody, you're going to do a sacrifice for them. That doesn't give him the right to do it from now on, though, either. Come on. You know, you're not always lovable 24/7. I don't care who we are. We are not. You have your flaws just like everybody else has theirs. And we have to learn to live with those flaws. How many of you right now have a hard time with that every now and then? You don't even like your own flaws. I mean, you know, really, I've been going through here lately. My own flaws are as big as they can be, and I'm having a hard time with that. So why am I going to judge you if you have some flaws? Come on, love looks over the flaws. All right, when human love is genuine, it is a beautiful thing, a noble thing, a wonderful thing, and a tremendous drive. But God's love for his children far exceeds anything we can experience on the human plane. You're never going to get a human being to love you like God does. So quit trying. Only God can love you like God. The true child of God is going to prove his spiritual birth by being obedient to God's word. God's incredible love for us should motivate us. It is the knowledge of this love that is going to cause us to want to live for God. Are you hearing that? If you really understand how much God really loves you, then you won't care what he asks you to sacrifice. You'll do it to show him that you love him. You know, when I was growing up, I just loved everybody, you know. Just everybody. I didn't care who you were. I just loved you. I thought you was wonderful and everything else. And I've told this story before. I had a blind cousin, and I was always walked by the blind school. They'd been there making little brooms and stuff, you know, and I would tap on the window, and she would tap back, you know, and then I would go and say to the teacher, can I take my cousin home for supper? Does your mother know you're bringing her? Oh, yes, she knows. She didn't know tiddly squat. So she'd get her all ready, and I'd take her home, and my mother would say, Barbie, I've told you not to do this, you know, because, you know, blind people, you know, they don't eat and stuff. And I get chewed out, but every night I'd go by the window and tap on. Finally, my mother told the lady she cannot bring her home no more. But I couldn't figure out why in the world my mother did not, and I still don't, to this day, don't know why she didn't want me to do that. She didn't eat that much, and she wasn't that much trouble to me. But she was a whole lot of trouble to my mother. But still, no, I was just like that. I just loved everybody. And, you know, whenever all of a sudden God told me you have to return back to your first love, he said, you're losing your love walk. This is, a couple years ago? That totally shocked me because I never thought I'd ever lose my love walk. But I was. I was losing my love walk. I was looking at everything people were doing to me, and I was allowing it to affect me. And if you're going to walk with God and walk in the love walk, you can't do that. You cannot concentrate on what people are doing to you, and you cannot allow it to affect you. You know, I know we're not stones, but we cannot allow it to affect us. Are you listening? We're supposed to stay in the love walk because God brought me through that. All right, now I lost my place, Chris. I see it now. Behold, what an unusual kind, what a different kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. So if you can't love the unlovable, then you're not a child of God, because God is love. Remember that feeling, God's love, and remember that feeling, God's love, and developing a deeper connection with God is a personal journey. You know, you can't walk my love walk, and I don't want to walk some of yours. And you might not want to walk mine either. It's a personal thing between you and God. Not between you and another human being, but between you and God. And when you get your love walk perfected with God, then you won't have trouble with human beings. I didn't say you wouldn't get upset with them. Now, don't say I said that. I didn't say that. But it doesn't cause you to quit loving them. See, there's a difference. All right, now let's go to the word God gave me. So this was your follow-up so you would understand about how much God loves you. God said, "Oh, my beloved ones, how I long to hold you in my arms once again." See, this is why I titled A Word for the Prodigals, because he talks like that. "This day I am calling you back to your first love, the time when you couldn't stand 1 minute away from me. Remember when you first fell in love with me, when you couldn't wait to take time out and sit at my feet and talk for hours on end? Remember how you couldn't wait for my presence to fall upon you and engulf you for hours, closing out the mundane things of this world? Right now, drink deep from that fountain of living waters, the fountain of love and intimacy on all fronts, that place where you shut out the world and just spend excellent quality time alone with your Heavenly Father. In those quality times, you long to have my breath upon you and take you into the heavenly realms where nobody else could separate and divide us even for 1 second. And he said, "Remember the tailgate parties we used to have." So I had to look that one up. All right. "Those times when we just sat and laughed at absolutely nothing, where the joy was strong and allowed no darkness to penetrate the atmosphere. Those were excellent times. They were times when we danced and rejoiced over the smallest things and even laughed the enemy to derision as he tried to separate and divide our intimate time together. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments with God. I still do. I am calling once again this day, come away, my beloved, into those times of yesterday when all was well, where the enemy had no influence, time meant nothing. All we could think of was our love for one another. We are once again going to visit those times of intimacy. In fact, even as I speak right now, I am overshadowing you and pulling you up hither to spend quality time in my presence." He's done all this to you right now. "We need to get absorbed in the heavenly atmosphere, and the enemy will never again be able to steal you away from me. You are a prodigal, and I am welcoming you home with open arms. I have prepared an intimate dinner for us, and we shall dine together and be as one, with love building stronger and stronger as the seconds tick by. I love you, children. I love you intimately. I love you with great excitement. I love you because you're mine and belong to no other. The Father loves you. He loves to have you speak with him." And everyone in here, I believe, is a prodigal in some way or another. Because do you really spend quality time with him like you used to? Or you just squeeze in a few seconds? You know, see what I'm saying? Have you allowed the cares of this world take away your time that you used to spend with the Father? And, you know, we are really busy. All of a sudden, everything's busy. And it just seems like, and God told us we were going to come into this time. It just seems like we can't, that there's not enough hours in one day to get everything accomplished that you have to accomplish. And I really believe with all my heart that what people have done is they cut out their time with God so they could get the cares of the world taken care of. And God is calling us back from being a prodigal, from wandering away from our intimate time. He's calling us back to him and just spend good quality time, just allowing him to love you. Allowing him to fall upon you. You know, you want a husband, you want a wife, you want somebody to love you, but yeah, you won't love the Father. If you won't spend quality time with the Father, you won't spend a quality time with a girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, whatever. You just won't. I mean, that's a given. And all through the Word, all I read about is God's love, God's love. Even when God killed people, it was because he loved them. You know, even today when people die, what you think is before their time, no, it was a perfect time. If God hadn't taken them when he did, they wouldn't have made heaven. God's told me that many times, daughter. Don't weep over this, because if I didn't take them now, they would never have been mine. They were wandering away from me. And God even told me that some right now, well, in fact, it might even be in tonight's service, or he was giving me a word before I came to church. Many are wandering away from God's grace right now. And they aren't going to make it. And this is the body of Christ. Why are you wandering away from God's grace? It's because you just take his love for granted. And see, we take each other's love for granted too, and we should never do that. We should cherish that love, hold tight to that love. And constantly, I'm just going to tell myself, I was upset about something the other day, and I said, I just don't care if they die. And my grandson, Jimmy, came over and he hugged me. He said, Mom, now, you didn't mean that at all. He said, now, don't say that again. You know you're not allowed to talk like that. I said, all right, God, I'm sorry. And then I said, but I wished I didn't see him no more. And he said, now stop. I was just chiding him then. But you know that, you know, if you really love God and you really want to walk in love, God will make sure there's somebody always there reining you in, you know. Because after all these, in this era of time, these kind of thoughts are bombarding our minds, trying to steal us away from God. Don't wish anybody dead, or don't wish anything ill against them, you know. Give them over to God, and you just keep your love walk going. God is love. Why can't you get people in the house of God? Because you're out there spouting that you're a child of God and you love God, and you're acting just like the devil. They don't want what you have. They already have that. They really, truly want to see people who are truly engulfed in the love of God and then portray that love. How far away from God's love have you wandered? Strayed, whatever you want to call it. Do you really know that God loves you? Some of you do, so you know, you just listen, all right? This would be good. It's just a rehash. Some of you have really wandered away from God's love, not even knowing you did that. Like whenever God told me, daughter, you have to return back to your first love. I never knew I left it. And I wouldn't have known if God wouldn't have told me. Why did he tell me? He could have let me wander, run on out of his presence altogether, because he loves me. And if you love somebody, you're going to chastise them. You want to bring them, pull them back into the fold. We're not here to push people out of the fold. We're here to pull people into the fold. The world needs love right now more than anything else. And if you're really listening and reading what people are saying, they're talking about love. Love. And I'm hearing preachers talk about love that never talked about it before. Guys, you're right there in the very center of everything God's getting ready to do. I was sitting there during praise and worship. I said, God, you know, you tell me to read the word about what Jesus did. When Jesus preached the word, it was always with signs and wonders following. I'm tired of sitting here teaching the word without signs and wonders following. Aren't you? You know, I can't go back to what I used to have, so I don't go back there no more, because he said, or I'll lose what I'm going to have. But aren't you tired of just coming into the house of God and same old, same old? Don't you want to come into the house of God where the rafters are just a singing and God's miracles start as you for you even walk through the door? And for 2-3 hours, that's all we have is people, you know, the glory of God moving and people's lives being changed. Until we get the love walk perfected, we're never going to see that. So you're going to have to learn to love. This is what draws all these anointings in or out of heaven, is love. Love for everybody, not just a select few. And even in this church, people don't love the way they ought, don't love each other the way they ought. When you come into this house of God, you forget what your profession is. You forget what happened outside that door. And you walk in here with the love of God. And you're supposed to send. Just when I say God like that, I have to tell you something. I was listening to Sid Roth about Catherine Kuhlman. And, you know, she talked like that. But you know why she talked like that? She stuttered. So she made her words deliberate. And I never knew that. But I just found that out yesterday. I was wondering, why does she talk like that? But she stuttered, so she had to learn how to talk just so she wouldn't stutter. Well, anyhow, there's a little tidbit that I thought was exciting. And then he also said that she would get into a crate and stay in that crate and pray till she's ready to go on to do her service. Remember the one guy, I don't remember his name, but he would sit right there. He'd put a paper bag over his head, and everybody just sat there until he took the paper bag off, because when he took the paper bag off, the spirit was ready to move, and then miracles and things were happening. So what do you do this strange? To have the miracles manifest. Are you listening? Before we had people move upstairs, I'd come here and spend an hour laying on the floor after crying out to God, and come down here when praise and worship started and the miracles would start flowing. But I have no place to hide now. So my little cage is gone. But I really desire that time, to have that time alone without business going on, so that the Holy Spirit can manifest and move forward. Maybe what you need to do is find your weird alone place. And then when you come out of it, the Holy Spirit's waiting and he's ready to move. But it all stems from love. If you know anything all about Catherine Kuhlman, she fell in love with this man. They got married. They loved each other desperately. But the Holy Spirit left her. So one day she was sitting in the church service. Her husband was preaching, and she got up, went out into the alley, and she said, "Okay, God, I know what I have to do." She never saw her husband again. She left him and looked at the powerful ministry that she had. I'm not telling you leave your loved ones. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you the price some people pay to see the miracles happen and see people healed and delivered. What price do you pay? Pick up your cigarette. That's not a price. That's a crutch. Watch your perversion. That's a crutch. That's not a sacrifice. What do you sacrifice? And how much do you love God? Some of you have been taught the right way, but you've walked the wrong way. And God said he wants you to come back to your first love. He wants you to come back to that place of perfect intimacy with him, where nobody can separate you from God. I have noticed one thing about the body of Christ in all the years I've been teaching, is that too many people are constantly looking for a spouse instead of looking for a closer walk with God. And when you get that spouse, they bind you all up. And you lose that intimacy with God. So I'm just throwing that out there just to let you know. Getting closer to God is more important than getting close to a man or a woman. All right. Because then once you're close to him, once you get that love thing, God just sends you the one he wants you. You look around and say, "Oh, who are you?" And that's the one God already had picked out for you. But he was waiting for you to get into love walk so you could love that one the way you're supposed to. All right. Well, it's time to make that decision. God is number one. He's your top priority right now. Your intimate walk with him. Everything else is going to the wayside. I'm going to tell you what Sister Barbara had a dream, and in this dream, she said that the church was there, and I was carrying stuff and putting it in my automobile. And she was, and all y'all were just doing your thing. And she said, why didn't somebody, why aren't they helping her? But she wouldn't help me either, okay? Why aren't they helping her load that car? You know what your automobile is, don't you? That's your ministry. And in that dream, God was showing her that I was walking this ministry by myself. You love me, but you're not walking it with me. And God told me a while back, 2-3 years ago, it's just you and I now, daughter. The people aren't going to walk this with you. It's just you and I. And when Jesus went to the cross, who went to the cross with him? Just him and God, the Father. So I'm bringing that up to tell you this. Or sometimes you're going to walk alone. But that doesn't mean people don't love you. That means God is drawing you to himself. Because he has to separate you from the people, because you're getting, and I was, getting too involved personally with the people, and they were showing you disrespect. So when God starts pulling you to yourself, don't get upset. It's not that people don't love you. God loves you more, and he sees that they are pulling you out of the will of the Father, and therefore the signs, wonders, and miracles are not going to flow. See, Barbara didn't know what her dream meant, but she was involved in it too. All right. It's not a bad dream. It was a good dream. It reinforced to me what God spoke to me a couple years ago. So, all right, now my question to you is, are you ready to go into this ministry or into this thing with God alone? Just you and God. Totally in love with one another. And I'm going to tell you, you get lonely every now and then. I would just love to have somebody come and sit and talk and laugh with me. But I know I can't do that right now. And it's hard. It really is hard. But yet God makes his love for you, makes up for anything that a human being could possibly give you. All right? The altar's open.